Join us as Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll teaches us how to strengthen our relationship with God through His Holy Word.
God's good this morning. And we are in Revelation again this morning, Revelations chapter 9. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. Kind of finish up a little bit about what we were talking about last week. I had planned something a little different this morning. My sermon title was going to be, What is Evil? What is evil? And if you try to answer the question, what is evil, then you have to try to answer the question, what is good? Because it has been said that you can have good without evil, but you can't have evil without good. And as you look at these verses in from 9 through 21, you would see there, and maybe we'll pick up on that next week, there is a moral evil within the universe. There's something within the universe that is just simply evil. And then there's a way to actually prove that those things are in existence by the things that we do and by the things that we see around us. I think we can see it even in the title of last Sunday's sermon, A Man's Stubborn Will. We see evil even in that area, how men can be stubborn even while God is trying to deal with them. Now, we see the things that's taking place in the world today. I believe that God trying to deal with His creation and try to get them to focus in and see Him before we run out of time. And the time is running short. So this morning, I'd like to finish up with part two of Man's Stubborn Will. And look at chapter 9, verse 1. There it says, And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a great star from heaven fall from heaven upon the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air was darkened like a reason of the smoke by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there come out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any trees, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented for 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And then it gives you the shape of the locusts and the description of these demonic beings that were going to torment man, and down to about the 19th verse. And that's why I like to pick up on the 19th verse instead of reading it the rest of the way down. And then verse 19 says, For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpent and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repenteth not of the works of their hand, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repenteth they of their murder, nor of their sorcery, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. That sounds scary, doesn't it? Maybe a good movie, I think, if you could really put this together. And maybe they've actually put some of these movies together. If you can, I don't know how many people likes horror movies, but there's a lot of them out there. But last week we said something about this in that the first thing that God wants men to do is He wants all men just to simply repent. And I know that everyone in this room, I think because you've been in church for so many years, you know what the word repent means. It means to turn back or turn towards God and quit doing the things that we used to do and began to act anew in Christ Jesus. And then if you really want a true description of that, I'd encourage you to read John chapter 3, where Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of the night and wanted to have a dialogue with him about religion, about who he was. And Jesus didn't want to go and talk with him about religion. He actually wanted to talk to Nicodemus about being born again. And Nicodemus didn't have a clue what he was talking about. And so Jesus expounded upon him. He said, listen, unless you are born again, you can't see, nor can you enter into the kingdom of God. And it's interesting that you and I are being part of that kingdom. And how do we get there? By knowing who God is and knowing who God sent into the world, his son, turning to him and turning from ourselves and turning to the Lord Jesus. So God encourages all men to repent. The Bible says, and if we get to the end of this, you'll find out, I think, why some men don't repent. But if you really stop and think about it, we have all sinned, and the Bible says have come short of the glory of God, meaning that God had intended for each and every individual to be a specific individual or a function, and we've fallen short of that, and that is to glorify his name. Everyone in this room has sinned, and look at the person next to you and tell them that they are a sinner. Men, don't do that to your wife. Now, look at them and tell them they're a sinner saved by grace if you know Jesus. Amen? So as we think about this, we realize that God encourages all men to repent. And as we look at the event that's taking place in chapter 9, verses 1 through 21, what God is trying to do is bring mankind to a place where they would repent and turn to him and turn from their evil way. Why? Because he loves them, all men. And he doesn't want anyone to end up in a place called hell, which has an eternal separation from God and from God's love. The Bible says this. It says, this is the will of God. And the will of God is that none should come, or that all should come to repentance, and that none should perish, that all would repent and come to know his loving grace. Isn't that good to know? And it's for anyone and everyone, and it's open. And I always love to say this, and that is that God has made it so easy for that to take place, hasn't he? All we have to do is just believe and receive Jesus. And John, I think it is 1:12, said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Really easy. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm glad God didn't say you have to do this or that. And most religions, no matter what it is outside of Christianity, will tell you have to do specific things. And a lot of people can't do those specific things, but everybody can believe. Everyone can believe. So God encourages all to repent, and then he pleads with all men to the point where he would try to bring them to repentance. And we realize that as we read in other passages of scriptures or the things that have preceded it. Hey, let me read something to you from the 8th chapter of Revelation. I find this really interesting. You're in the 9th chapter of Revelation. These plagues are about to happen. These individuals will be tormented. They're being tormented. They have been tormented, and they still would not repent. But if you go back to about the 8th chapter, well, actually, it's the 6th chapter, beginning reading at verse 12. There, it deals with the 6th seal that was opened. And look what it says there. And it says, and I beheld when he had opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now listen, if I saw, and if, now let's just say this is a real event. If I saw this taking place, I'm telling you, if I was there, hopefully my heart would not be so hardened that I couldn't tell that something was taking place. You know what I mean? I say something unique's going on here. Then verse 13 said, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man, hid themselves in the den and in the rocks of the mountain. Tremendous event, isn't it? Hid themselves in the rocks of the mountain. And verse 16 said, and said to the mountain and rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that set us on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Notice what it says there. These individuals know what's at work here. And folks, let me tell you something. I don't think mankind out there outside the church is as ignorant as they pretend sometimes and thinking that they don't know what's going on. But I really think they know God is working. They just refuse to receive it, because if they were to receive it, then they'd have to do exactly what we were talking about, and that is repent. Turn from the wicked ways. But they won't turn from the wicked ways, because the last part of chapter 9 tells you why. Because they love what they do. And as a result of that, they won't repent. Now notice what it says there. And I don't know about you. I love that verse 16 verse. And we talked about this a long time ago, a little bit. I love verse 16. It says, to the mountain and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that set us on the throne. And notice what it says. And from the wrath of the Lamb. From the wrath of the Lamb. I remember, and we all know about dogs, right? Dogs can be vicious sometimes. And I was walking up this road one day, and I saw this big sign, and I'm curious, and I know you guys are too, and I saw this big sign, and the fence was probably about yay high, and it had a sign that said, beware of dog. And then I take a couple more steps, and it had another sign that said, beware of dog, and this ain't Joel's dog either. And it had another sign that said, beware of dog. And then I walked up, and it had another sign that said, beware of dog. And I'm thinking, well, what kind of dog would they have on that fence where they had to put up all of these signs saying, beware of dog? And being as curious as I was, now these dogs must have really good sense of smell, because I wanted to find out what kind of dog was over in that yard, got my curiosity, you know? So I took and jumped up real high, and just as I jumped up, that dog jumped. And we were looking at each other just like this. And that dog scared the living daylight on me. I found out what kind of dog was behind that fence. And it was one that had a lot of wrath. But here it is. It says, and say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that set us on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Folks, it's coming. They knew it's coming. And it was happening. And they still knew what they needed to do. And they refused to do it. Why? Again, back to what we were talking about. So God begins. Now listen, God begins in Revelation. He begins, and he does this. This is the way God works, I believe, that he begins mildly. Not that I would be considering chapter 6 to be mild, but it's mild compared to what's coming, and it's mild to according to what's taking place in chapter 9. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you like darkness? How many of you like being in a room that's dark? How many of you like being in a room that's really dark? And you don't know what's in that room, and you got sounds going on all around you, and you don't know what those sounds are. My son, one time, he was down in West Virginia, and he wanted to go out to the car to get something other. And he got to the back door to go out of the house, and then he stopped, and he comes back in. He asked my other son, he said, I need to get something out of the car. He said, will you go out to the car with me? And my son looked at him and said, well, son, said, why? What are you worried about? He said, I don't know, but it's dark out there. And then my son said, well, I said, yeah, that's night. He said, well, I'm talking about West Virginia dark. He was scared to be out there. Now, look what's taking place here in chapter 9. I mean, it's pitch black, smoke, all type of activities taking place around these individuals. They're being tormented, whether it's physical or whether it's soulish. We don't actually really know, or maybe both. To the point where they say, listen, we wish we could just die. And they still refuse to repent. So God begins out light. And as he begins light, mild method of trying to reach humanity. And sometimes those mild methods often fail. So then God proceeds to get a little bit more vigorous. And he adds a little bit more. And he strengthened the methods of trying to reach the individuals, and they still refuse to repent.
Amen.
I used to like to tell the story about Jonah being swallowed in a fish and being down in that fish's belly for 3 days. And then all of a sudden, the whale, I don't know how he ever got him to the beach, comes to the beach, and he just kind of burps Jonah up. Right? There he is, standing on the beach. And could you imagine being in a whale's belly for 3 days? Then all of a sudden, here, you know, with the acids and the seaweeds and all the stuff, and imagine what Jonah might have looked like, and being there on that beach and have something like that look at you and say, repent. Be pretty quick, wouldn't it? Got my attention. I'm ready. But here it is. All this is taking place, and humanity still says no. So here it is. God uses, he asks man to repent. He says all men should repent. He pleads with man to repent, and man still refuses. He begins to torment man in one way or another, allow these things to happen in their life to get their attention till they turn to God in a mild way and they refuse. Then God allows these events to intensify and they still refuse to turn to God. And then we find out that it seems like all the methods that God uses, man still refuses to do it. I remember, and I know some of you are old enough to remember this, in the 70s, you used to be able to just talk to anybody, it seemed like. And whenever you talk to them, it'd be like, and you say, listen, the Bible is real. Jesus saves. Receive Christ as your Savior. And these individuals repented and came to know Christ. I don't know how many people in the 70s that we actually got to lead to the Lord. And I remember one guy at one time, not one guy, but I remember sitting on big racks of medals. And I was a young guy and I was reading the Bible. And I'd be sitting there reading, these guys walk by. They wouldn't make fun of them because somebody's reading the Bible. They wouldn't laugh at somebody reading the Bible. They respected the Bible. And they respected the church, seemed like, at that time. And they would say, yeah, you read the Bible? I'd say, yeah, I'm reading the Bible. You know, that's a good thing. Try that today. And do those things. He would get upset. They won't repent today, but yet at the same time, they know that God is calling. Now, if we have to come to a point, that verse 20 and 21, let me read that again. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repents not of the works of their hand, that they should not worship devils, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repenteth they of their murder, nor of their sorcery, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. Man, I mean, that encompasses a lot of stuff there, doesn't it? And so let's ask ourselves the question just for a second. Why wouldn't they repent? Why wouldn't they? What's someone going to argue the matter with? Well, is God really doing this? Or is it just circumstances? Well, they would get angry with God and say, well, if God's going to do that to me, I'm not turning to God. I had a lady tell me one time, I was talking to her, listen to this, this is kind of funny. She was willing to spend eternity separated from God simply because she hated somebody. She told me one day, I asked her, about coming to know Christ. Her husband had just received Jesus, and I talked to her about receiving Christ as her Savior. She said, I'd never come to Christ as my Savior. And I said, why not? She said, reason I'd never come to him is because if I did, I'd have to forgive that individual, and I will never forgive that individual. That's what she said. I'd never want a relationship with that person, she said. And so I would never, ever know Christ. That's her words. So I'd rather spend eternity, and I mean, she said, I would rather spend eternity in hell than forgive her. Man, I tell you what, I got some people I don't like, but I don't dislike them that much, you know. So here it is, getting mad at God. How many of you ever, and I know, and I don't raise your hand now, but we all get mad at God sometimes, don't we? There's been times whenever God's done things we don't understand and we question God, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't allow it to get you to the point where you get angry and turn from God. The world gets angry with God, and if God said, listen, you need to repent. You need to turn from those sinful ways. They argue with God. And let me tell you something else, I believe. As you see these things taking place, are you with me? As you see these things taking place, you realize that sin, as it deepens in a person's life, it'll deafen their ears to the things that God has to say or what God has to say. They can't hear. Like I said, back in the 70s, you could talk to anybody just about and they would listen. Not all. Now it's hard to even go and talk to anyone today that will hear. Simply, it seems they're hardened their heart to a greater. These individuals' hearts are about as hard as they could get. And now there's a lot of event has taken place up to this point that displayed God in the heavens. They could see him and know that he's at work, but yet they do not see him. You ever thought, how many of you would like to have been back with Moses in the Old Testament? Anyone, you don't have to raise your hand on that either. Some of you say, no, I like it where I'm at. Could you imagine being at the Red Sea? And then listen, could you imagine being at the Red Sea and see God do the miracle like that, open up that sea? I say, man, that's a great thing. Man, I'm impressed. God can do great things. But yet at the same time, they get on the other side and a lot of them murmured, upset with God. After he did all he did. How many of you would think if Jesus walked on water, you saw that? How would that change your mind and attitude? I'm thinking there's something unique. If you and we've done this before on Wednesday night, but if you had Brother Joel out there and had him find a pond of water and had him walk across that water and then want to talk to you, how many of you sit and listen to him for a little bit? I would. This guy did something unique. God does unique things, and the reason he does the unique things is to get us to stop for a moment and take and listen to see what he's doing. What is it that he wants? And the end result of what God wants is for us to repent, come to know him, find out how much he loves us, and fall in love with him. Amen. And here's one that I hear people use all the time. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, perfect love cast out all fear. Now, I think perfect love that cast out all fear can be dangerous in reverse. Perfect love for the things of this world will cast out the fears of God. Notice what the things that they loved in verse 20. It says, and the rest of these men, or the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repenteth not of the works of their hand, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repenteth they of their murder, nor of their sorcery, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. They love these things. Just love it. I mean, we could get into idolatry, we could get into SAS, we get into lust because he mentions all of these different things. And then I will close, but I'll close it. I won't pound too much up on that, but I'll close it with this story. And there were Karen and I was sharing some of this stuff with Karen. She remembered this story. And the first thing she said to me, well, remember? And I said, yeah, I remember. That at our other church, there was this young girl. She was probably about 28. And I wasn't really real old, but I was in my 40s. But she was still young. And that she came into the church one day. And she came into my office and wanted to talk and about her life, what was going on in her life. And I knew her about her. I knew a lot of things that was going on in her life and stuff like that. And she was just crying because she was in so much misery. She was caught up in drugs. She was caught up in prostitution. She was caught up in some other things. And there she came into my office. I told her, I said, you know, God can really help you. God can help you. And you're in the right place. And she and I had a little bit of a dialogue there about what God can do and how she could get help. And there were folks listening, there's avenues out of all this stuff if a person wants to do it. Matter of fact, I had set up an appointment later on, and I have to go to the end of this, and I'm bringing this to a close. But I had set up an appointment for her to meet with some people. And I went to her house to pick her up. Me and a couple of the deacons in the church went to pick her up. And when we picked her, got to her house, we go in, and she's there with her boyfriend at this time. And we knock on the door, she invites us in. I said, okay, you're ready to go. You know, they're waiting on you. They can help you. And she looked at me, she says, I ain't going. She said, I'm not going. And I said, you know, this is your opportunity. There's help available for you. Do you want it? She said, I ain't going. And I said, are you afraid to go? I said, are you afraid of this guy? I mean, he can't stop you. If you want to go, we're here to help you. We will take you. And she said, no, I don't want to go. Well, the guy met me outside after I left. Okay, you ain't nothing to do. He meets me outside. He said, listen, it's not me. I'm not the one not wanting her to go. I want her to go. She herself don't want to go. And this is what she told me. She said, Ronnie, and you guys forget that name here. It's Ron to you. But she said, Ronnie, I love that stuff more than life itself. I love that stuff more than life itself. And I told her, I said, you know, you are already dead. You just don't know it yet. You're already there. Because this stuff will kill you. And about 3 or 4 years later, I don't think it's that long, maybe 2 years, we got a message. She was dead. Overdose. Folks, listen, people won't repent. Perfect love for something other than God. And I am telling you, there's something greater than these things that the world had to offer. Okay, I'm going to tell you them. God's love will set you free from all things. All you got to do is embrace it and believe. And that's one day. God is there every moment of every day, encouraging us, come and know him. Stand with me as we close in prayer. Father, this morning, we bow before you, thanking you. Thanking you that you spoke to our hearts somewhere in the past. Like you were talking to Nicodemus, don't want to talk about religion. We want to talk about being born again. We want to talk about knowing you, born from above by your spirit and your power in our hearts. And like Paul said in Romans, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, power of God that can make a difference in individuals' lives. Father, we know that you are always there. You're always encouraging anyone and everyone to come into a living and lasting relationship with you. And as we close this service, this song of invitation, the invitation from you is, come and know who you are. This morning we thank you, Father, for all things. We love you. We praise you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.